Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our service. Welcome to the people here in church and to those joining it via the web camera. Just to remind everyone at home listening to us, you're part of our community for the next hour, and anyone who happens to listen in at a later date. As we gather this morning, I think we should take a few moments of silence just to sit. You needn't stand, but to sit and hold in our hearts and thoughts all the people who are suffering from wars. We remember those who have died, those who are bereaved, those who are missing, those who are injured, those who are homeless, those who suffer loss. And we must also remember those who will harm their souls by partaking in acts of violence. We have our opening words. If there is to be peace in the world, there must be peace in the nations. If there is to be peace in the nations, there must be peace in the cities. If there is to be peace in the cities, there must be peace between neighbors. If there is to be peace between neighbors, there must be peace in the home. If there is to be peace in the home, there must be peace in human hearts. Our chalice lighting. When all the people in the world love, the strong will not oppress the few. The wealthy will not mock the poor. The honored will not despise the humble. The cunning will not deceive the simple. We light our chalice as a symbol of love and compassion for every person who is enduring violence and hatred. Now we have our first hymn this morning, and it's hymn number 159. This is my song, O God of all the nations. Hymn number 159.
Thank you.
Let us pray. This is the prayer for peace from St. Francis of Assisi. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, let me bring a light. Where there is sadness, joy. Lord, grant I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, and it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born again to life. Amen. Let us say together the prayer Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Our reader this morning is Dennis.
Good morning. I looked at the title of today's service and two words came out, wisdom and literature. So I thought I'd read something from literature. And at this this time of year, I think we become aware of the seasons more than any other time of year because you put your overcoat on for the first time. And the other time of the year that I am very conscious of the seasons is in spring. Both of my children were born in February, and it's around the time the crocuses and the snowdrops come up. So in his inimitable fashion, Samuel Beckett writes a piece in his book, What, which he wrote, one of his first books. He wrote it when he was in the resistance in France during the war. And of course, he has dark humor. He talks about something that happens every 4 years, and it's not the losing of the quarterfinal of the World Cup. So this is a piece about the seasons from Samuel Beckett from his book, What? And he's going through the whole seasons from spring through to the end of the year. The crocuses and the larch turning green every year, a week before the others. And the pastures red with uneaten sheep's placentas. And the long summer days and the new mown hay. And the wood pigeon in the morning, and the cuckoo in the afternoon, and the corncrake in the evening, and the wasps in the jam, and the smell of the gorse, and the look of the gorse, and the apples falling, and the children walking in the dead leaves, and the larch turning brown a week before the others, and the chestnuts falling, and the howling winds, and the sea breaking over the pier, and the first fires, and the hooves on the road, and the consumptive postman whistling, the roses are blooming in Picardy, and the Standard Oil lamp, and of course the snow, and to be sure the sleet, and bless your heart the slush, and every fourth year, the February debacle. And the endless April showers, and the crocuses, and then the whole bloody business starting all over again.
In In a break with tradition, we're going to have another reader, and our reader today is a visitor. Geraldine is her name. Geraldine hails from the Kingdom of Kerry.
Good morning, folks. It'll be hard to follow Dennis. So I'm Paula's younger sister, and I'm here today just to say thanks to you, her family. Let me just get this together. I'm a little bit nervous. So. And the glasses, of course, won't sit. All tough. So thank you for welcoming us, Paula's family, here today. Of course, some of us are a little bit late, but here we are. This church and its community mean so much to Paula. And on her birthday, her big birthday, we would like to acknowledge that by saying thanks, by being present here, by merging her family with her church family. This church, its importance, its inclusion and its ethos mirrors Paula's daily life, full of love, support, comfort and patience. Today's church theme is wisdom, and like Dennis, I'm going for the literature. So it couldn't be more apt in describing Paula, who is my sister, my rock, and my best friend. So happy birthday, Paula. I'll keep it together. The following poem is a family favourite, and Paula's children, Ronan and Elke, recall a £5 reward if they could recite it without error. So here goes. So it's If by Rudyard Kipling. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you but make allowance for their doubting too, if you can wait and not be tired by waiting or being lied about, don't deal in lies, or being hated, don't give away to hating, and yet don't look too good nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two impostors just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life to broken and stoop and build them up with worn out tools. If you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it on one turn of pitch and toss, and lose and start again at your beginnings, and never breathe a word about your loss. If you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your turn long after they are gone, and so hold on when there is nothing in you except the will which says to them, hold on. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings nor lose the common touch, if neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you, but none too much. If you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything that is in it, and which is more, you'll be a man, my son. Thank you for sharing that with me. Thank you, Bridget.
Probably mortified down there, as we say in Dublin. Today we are going to welcome three new members to the church. Two of them are here today. One of them is not available. She lives in Northern Ireland and she has a lot of health issues, and Pat can't travel. But she is going to be on our membership list as well. So can we have John and Stephen to the front, please? And our vice chairman now. And if you sit in the front, gentlemen. that we often say on Sunday here to reflect the aims of this community. Love is the doctrine of this church. The quest for truth is its sacrament, and service is its prayer. To dwell together in peace, to seek knowledge in freedom, to serve humankind in fellowship, to the end that all souls shall grow in harmony with the divine, this do we covenant with each other and with God. Today we welcome three new members into the fellowship of our church community. Men and one woman who find themselves in agreement with its purposes and willing to support its activities. Just to keep the mood light, because last week has been so terribly difficult, I have chosen a reading, Why You Should Not Be a Unitarian, by Dr. Tony Larson. Somebody I met recently described the Unitarian Church as a place that welcomes Christians, Jews, atheists, and even the odd German shepherd or two. That person was trying to be funny, but behind his remarks was an unwarranted assumption that anyone belongs here. And behind that myth is another one, that we don't stand for anything. But not everyone can or should be a Unitarian. Because the first criterion for getting into this church is, you've got to know how to sin. We don't want people who've made it in the salvation department and are just waiting around to be picked up for heaven. People with too much heaven in them are hell to live with. If there was any perfect human beings around, we might let them in. But since there aren't anyone who claims he or she doesn't do bad things are either trying to fool others or themselves. You should not be a Unitarian if you're not willing to admit that about yourself. As a matter of fact, recognition of your evil has great power for mobilizing compassion. The second reason for not being a Unitarian has to do with our intolerance of intolerance. You should not be a Unitarian if you support the Nazis or the Ku Klux Klan or any other group that believes in oppressing people. We may be open in this church, but we're not that open. We are closed to movements that close people off. And when we say our church has the freedom of belief, even that comes in a limited sort of way. We are free to believe whatever you want here, but only as long as it helps you to live a caring life. So when someone says, what do Unitarians believe? And you answer, oh, we believe whatever we want to. That's not quite true. There's a lot of things we do not believe in. We don't believe in limiting people because of their race or color. We don't believe in discriminating against people on the basis of gender or sexual orientation. We don't believe in excluding people because of disability. We don't believe in destroying the environment. We don't believe that injustice and poverty are unfortunate accidents that we don't have a responsibility to do something about. Belief in Jesus is definitely not necessary for joining the church, and even if it were, it wouldn't be sufficient reason to join, because we want more from you. We expect beliefs that carry through in concern for those around you. And if all you have is a belief in Jesus, you shouldn't be a Unitarian. You should not be a Unitarian if you expect the minister and the other members always to have the same views as you do. That's the third criterion. You should not expect the minister to present answers to you. You should not be a Unitarian if you don't like being offended, if you expect to always agree with the address. If you haven't been offended or bored yet, that's only because you haven't been here often enough. You should not be a Unitarian if you're a Christian who doesn't think atheists belong here. You should not be a Unitarian if you're an atheist who thinks Christians don't belong here, or Buddhists, or psychics, or pagans, or spiritualists. Remember, the criterion for membership is humane living. The rest is a matter of individual choice. You should not be a Unitarian if you want all the answers, because we know we don't even know all the questions. Unitarians have had a long, proud history. It was the Unitarians who stood on the side of religious freedom throughout Irish history. Before the law was changed, we officiated at weddings for same-sex couples. For almost 20 years, members of the transgender community have found a home here with us. You should not be a Unitarian if you don't welcome diversity. Finally, you should not be a Unitarian if you're not willing to bring your gifts to the service of this community, this church, because it is run by the members. And here's an opportunity for me to say thank you to everyone who supports me and this community. Now we're going to have our second hymn this morning. It's hymn number 23, Bring Many Names. Our next prayer is is a meditation on peace by Thich Nhat Hanh. So can I ask everyone just to sit comfortably in their seat, maybe close their eyes, and I will read the prayer. We begin by wishing peace for ourselves. May I be peaceful, happy in body and in mind, free and safe from danger. May I be free from anger, unwholesome states of mind and worries. May I know how to look at myself with the eyes of understanding and love. May I be able to recognize and touch the seeds of joy and happiness in myself. May I learn how to nourish myself with joy each day. May I be able to live free, solid, at peace. Having thought about peace for ourselves, we now think of peace for the people we love. May each of them be peaceful, happy, in mind and body. May they be free and safe from dangers. May they be free from anger, unwholesome states of mind and worries. May they know how to look at themselves with the eyes of understanding and love, and able to recognize and touch the seeds of joy and happiness in themselves. May they learn how to nourish themselves with joy each day, so that they live happy, solid, free, and at peace. Now we extend our wishes for peace to everyone in the world, including people we dislike or who are causing hatred or harm to people. May they be peaceful, happy in body and mind. May they be free and safe from danger. May they be free from anger, unwholesome states of mind and worry. May they learn to look at themselves with the eyes of understanding and love. May they be able to recognize and touch the seeds of joy and happiness in themselves, so that they nourish themselves with joy each day, and that they too live free, happy, and at peace. We include all living beings in our prayer for peace. May all beings be at peace, happy in body and mind. May they be free and safe from danger. May they be free from anger, unwholesome states of mind and worries. May they know how to look at themselves with the eyes of understanding and love. May they be able to recognize and touch the seeds of joy and happiness in themselves, and learn how to nourish themselves with joy each day. May all beings be free, fresh, and at peace. The titles for these addresses are chosen a month in advance, and the plan was with this that wisdom literature would be sort of my stroll through various sacred texts, picking out things that sang to me and sharing them with you. But this week, I just couldn't write that service. It just wouldn't work for me. So this is what I've written. When we hear the words wisdom literature, first raised in Western culture, the book that springs to mind is probably the Bible. The Bible is a familiar touchstone for Christians. However, people of other faith traditions will probably think of other wisdom books like the Quran, the Bhagavad Gita, the Tao Te Ching, or maybe the works of Confucius. The prophet Abraham is the common ancestor of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. The three religions are often referred to as peoples of the book. Each faith has their sacred text. The Jewish scripture, or what the Christians call the Old Testament, is the oldest writings. And those Jewish scriptures have been absorbed into the Christian Bible. And this was done to give a cloak of authority to the emerging new faith. 600 years after the death of Jesus, the Prophet Muhammad experienced his revelations from Allah, and they were recorded by his followers in what is now called the Quran. Those three faiths share many beliefs: the oneness of God, that we have a duty to care for others, the belief that God will hold every person accountable for their actions when they die. And together, those three faiths account for nearly half the world's population. So faiths have so much in common, but we humans manage to create dissension about them and because of them. Those three faiths meet in the land of Israel. Last week, we are witnesses to the latest outbreak of violence between two great faith groups. Needless to say, the dispute is not about faith or points of theology. It never is. A wise person said to me once that the Christians in Europe allowed the Holocaust to happen. Christians allowed the killing of about 6 million Jews. And after the war, the Western Christians imposed a solution on the Jewish suffering on the Muslim people. That's the background to the disputes, of course. You know, I had been attending this church for a few months before Bill Darlison came to Dublin, and I was amazed at the wisdom and insight I heard during those services, and all the services had been led by members of the congregation. One of Bill's earliest services had the title that went along the lines of, I hope this is fairly correct, Bill, Three pressed flowers and a letter from my friend Abdullah. I was very curious, what was he going to talk about? I had no idea what to expect from the title. My memory of the service is that a man of the Islamic faith was asked, what is in your Quran? And the man replied, three pressed flowers and a letter from my friend Abdullah. Now, I am slightly embarrassed to admit that when I heard the question, my thoughts were running along the lines, and anyone who was brought up with Catholic guilt will understand this, that what would be in his Quran would be some grit and dust caused between the pages. And that for somebody like me, immersed in the guilt, the grit represented sins and bad habits that needed to be cleaned out. My slightly more mature reflection on that service is that no matter what source we use, whatever the source of wisdom we use, we will always interpret it through the prism of our history and our personal experiences. In addition to what that man was reading, he was also thinking about personal experiences and those of his friends. And we all do that with whatever religion or whatever wisdom we use. The Jewish scriptures that are part of the Christian tradition are made up of distinctive parts. There's the teaching of Moses, and they give the rules of faith for the practice of the Jewish faith. There's the history of the Jewish people. There are writings of the prophets. There are hymns of praise and wisdom statements. It contains myths about the origins of humanity. So we always have to remember that the Bible and particularly the Jewish scriptures are a library. They're not a book. It's not God sitting down and writing this book. It was a library written by human beings. So not only, I think, do we interpret scripture from our own personal experiences, the books that make up the Bible were written from a particular perspective at a particular point in time and probably in response to current events at that time. So not only do we have our interpretation, I think the writers have it as well. Shakespeare, of course, was right when he said the devil can cite scripture for his purpose. There are many forms of wisdom literature. The advantage of books like the Quran and the Bible is that they have withstood the test of time. There are lots of really lovely books in shops nowadays that you pick some up and you'll find something useful in them. They haven't withstood the test of time. When we read any book of wisdom or scripture, we must read it with care and attention, always thinking of the overreaching message of all faiths. And that overriding message is that humans are called to act with loving kindness towards one another. Love and kindness is the foundation of these three great faith systems. It is also the basis for sane living in a world of 7 billion plus people. Christianity values the teaching of Jesus, particularly his emphasis on love, kindness, and the need to care for one another above the rules. Jesus healed on the Sabbath because people needed healing. He didn't say, come back on Monday because then I'm allowed to do it. When Jesus said, to love your neighbor as yourself, Jesus was quoting from Jewish scripture. It wasn't the invention of Christianity. He was quoting Leviticus. The religion of Islam honors Jewish and Christian prophets, with the caveat that in time, errors crept into Jewish and Christian teaching. So people are often surprised when Muslims admit that they honor all the prophets, Moses, Noah, and all of those, Abraham, and have great reverence for Mary, the mother of Jesus. Muslims believe that the revelations of God to the prophet Muhammad are just corrections of the errors that crept into those earlier established faiths. And Islam too values love and kindness. And this is a quotation from the Islamic faith. You will not enter paradise until you believe, and you will not believe until you love one another. Shall I inform you of something which you, if you do, you must love one another, and you must give peace among yourselves. When we quote from any scripture, we should keep in mind Shakespeare's warning about Satan, because any quotation can be taken out of context and it can be used to hurt. And we must go past those little inserts into the teaching of these religions to look at the overall picture. Every one of us will have our opinion about the causes of conflict between the protagonists in the Middle East. And it's not for me to give my opinion here at this time or to apportion any blame. I will say, particularly in the past week, everyone who had a part in taking of human life disregarded the wisdom contained in their sacred writings. They disregarded the teachings that said, thou shalt not kill. Islamists did not spread peace. In their response, Israelis are not heeding the word of the psalmist that said, turn from evil, do good, seek peace and pursue it. They also ignored the psalm that said, I will lay me down for you, Lord, make me dwell in safety. That comes from Psalm 8. You alone, Lord, will make me dwell in safety. Safety is found in God, who is love. Safety will not be found in the total annihilation of Hamas or any other group. From the sidelines, Christians never spoke out about loving your enemy or about the desirability of beating spears into plowshares. They sent aircraft carriers to the region. I don't know if many of you have read the Irish Times' Justine McCarthy's article in it. This is a very quick quotation from it. The slaughter at the Nahal Oz kibbutz on Saturday was horrific. Within 48 hours, on the other side of the border in Gaza, 260 children lay dead amid the rubble and smoke of Israel's counterattack. Two wrongs do not make a right. They make a vortex of reprisals that erode the humanity of the enemies. In Ireland, we lived through 30 years of reprisals in conflict of Northern Ireland, and we cannot understand the pain of reprisals. Justine McCarthy's article echoes the words from the Buddhist scripture, the Dhammapada. Buddhists say, darkness cannot dispel darkness. Only light can dispel darkness. Never does hatred cease by hating in return. Only through love can hatred be brought to an end. Victory breeds hatred. The conquered dwell in hatred and resentment. They who give up all thoughts of victory or defeat may be calm and live in peace. So let us overcome viciousness by gentleness. Let us overcome evil by good. Reprisals don't work. Only goodness can dispel evil. The violence is horrific. Meeting violence with violence only destroys people. It does not just destroy the injured person, it also inflicts harm on the person perpetrating the violence. Next Friday, we are invited to join the Jewish community for Sabbath service in the synagogue. The events of the past week have made me think about the visit. This community has shared friendship with the Jewish community in Ireland for more than 120 years. We value our friendship with that community in Leicester Road. Attending Sabbath service, I think, would be a symbol of what we share with our friends, not a comment on political ideologies. We come as people in friendship, and friends sometimes might have to say to their friends, I don't like what you're doing. Yesterday I phoned the Islamic community in Clonskee to offer sympathy with them for what's happening in the Middle East. And also I'm in the process of trying to arrange a visit to the mosque where we join them in prayer as well. I don't know how you would feel about it, but that was my thoughts on what is a way forward for us. I'm happy to hear suggestions from people after the service. But Friday the 20th is our invitation day to Leicester Road. Amen. We're now going to have our third hymn, and it's hymn number 123, Spirit of Life, Come Unto Me. Our offertory will now be taken. our notices. Thank you to the choir for the lovely singing this morning. It was absolutely lovely. It's always a pleasure to hear them sing. And if anyone feels they would like to sing along with the choir, they'd be happy to if you talk to Josh or Gavin. There's fair trade tea and coffee served downstairs after the service. Do please join us. Wednesday, there's the usual lunchtime meditation, 1:05 to 1:35, and it's available in the church and online. Our favourite reading service is on the 29th of October. I need about half a dozen more volunteers to read, please. And if anybody could play some music, we do have some music lined up. We have some music lined up, but if we don't get readers, we could do with musicians. The book club meet in the vestry and via Zoom on the last Wednesday of the month. And this month's book is Half of a Yellow of Sun. And they meet at 7:30 on the 25th of October. Our final hymn this morning is hymn number 67. We sing now together our song of thanksgiving, hymn number 67. Our blessing. If here you have found freedom, take it with you into the world. If you have found comfort, go and share that comfort with others. If you have dreamed dreams of a more peaceful, more just world, work to make your dreams a reality. If you have known love, share that love with a bruised and hurting world. Amen.